get older, losing my hair many years from now. Will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
It's Monday, September 13, 2004, and welcome to today's show. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? And the answer to that question is a lot. And my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. Last week, you heard some of the highlights from the July and August shows. With kids back to school and parents back to work after the Labor Day holiday, we're back live to discuss a new topic and to take your calls. Today's show is dedicated to caregivers and caregiving. To discuss this topic and to answer your questions, I have in the studio today two dedicated and hardworking people who I'll introduce in just a minute. Quick reminder that the phone lines are open for your calls, 855-6848. If you can't get through or don't want to talk on the air, you can mail your questions and requests for information to the station, WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202, or email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. Drop me a line also if you would like free copies of an older adult self-assessment booklet, which I put together that may help identify important problems you haven't yet discussed with your doctor, or a copy of the Caregiver's Handbook, which I have sent to people around the world who requested help and guidance with caregiving. These booklets and additional information related to the topics discussed and audios of the shows can be found also on the website whatshouldyouexpect.com. The phone number at the station again is 855-6848, and we're here to answer your questions. It's my pleasure now to introduce Mr. Tom DeLowry, head of the Niagara Caregivers Network and director of the Center for Renewal, and Miriam Callahan, who heads up the Erie County Caregiver Coalition. Welcome, both of you.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Starting with Miriam, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your program?
Sure, Rob. The Erie County Caregiver Coalition came into existence maybe 2-3 years ago when some of us realized that numerous agencies and organizations in the Erie County area worked with caregivers and around caregiving issues, and yet we didn't really work together. One didn't know exactly what the other one did. We didn't think we were making the best referrals, and sometimes we lacked good information. So we got together and decided that forming a coalition would be beneficial to us and to the caregivers for whom we're trying to offer services. So that was how the Erie County Caregiver Coalition came into existence. I work for Erie County Department of Senior Services, and we've rather taken the lead in this endeavor. And throughout the last year, I met Tom DeLowry, who is part of the Niagara Caregiver Network, was feeling the same way in Niagara County. And I said, well, I'll go to your meeting if you'll come to my meetings. And now not only are we working with caregivers in Erie County, but we don't let geographical borders stop us from helping people on either side.
So if someone calls you from Niagara County, you point them in the right direction, and Tom, likewise, people that call you from Erie County, you make sure you help them too.
That's right. A lot of cooperation.
Now, I see the Erie County Caregiver support services are many. They apply to children and youth, adults, seniors. Can you tell me about some of the organizations that are part of the coalition?
Sure. We deal through senior services mostly with people over 60, but the coalition members are constantly saying to me, some of them, Miriam, there's caregivers who are under 60 and deal with people under 60, so you have to take that into consideration, too. We work with Catholic Charities. We work with the Alzheimer's Association, the Red Cross, Coordinated Care. There's about 35 of us now, different, like I say, agencies and organizations who partake in the different projects and programs that the coalition is involved with.
And I'm sure you are trying to coordinate, reduce redundancy in services, make sure that the strengths of each organization are brought out to the fullest.
And what happens is that there may be a program that an agency is starting for caregivers, and on their own, they don't have as much momentum to get it off the ground. But when the other 30 organizations come on board and support that, there's more success. So we're not competitive. We work together. We see it as a good team effort.
And the services are open to everyone, right? There's no income requirements. There's no age-specific age requirements.
That's right. And one of the areas that is rather new to me is the issue with grandparents raising a minor child. There's many grandparents who are caregivers for a child. It's turned their whole life around, and sometimes in a very stressful way. So there's assistance, for example, for those folk too.
That's wonderful. Tom, what can you tell us all about what you do?
Well, the Niagara Caregivers Network is a coalition of organizations that provide medical, emotional, or spiritual care. We offer workshops both in Erie and Niagara County. They're covered by Independent Health and Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Marion staff is involved in taking the lead, not only helping us to develop some of the workshops, but also they're involved in teaching some of them as well. The programs developed in part from my personal experiences. My background is, initially I was a counselor, then I ran the wellness and disease management programs at Independent Health, but as my own parents aged, what I saw was that even though physically they were doing very poorly, my mom had serious heart disease, my dad had Parkinson's, they were still well because emotionally they were strong and spiritually they were strong. And it started to make sense to me that if we could bring together organizations that offered all those services and encourage not only older adults but also their caregivers to pay attention to what their emotional needs are, their medical needs, their social and their spiritual needs, that would be an important service, and that's much of what we're doing now.
Now, is there a central number. The number I have, and I think it's correct, 285-8224 as a central intake number, if you will, for the Niagara Caregivers Network.
Right, that's at the Health Association of Niagara County, which is actually the lead organization in much of what we do, but they could also access our services by calling Miriam's number at the Erie County Department of Senior Services.
And Miriam, your number?
It's 858-8526.
Okay, those are the two key numbers, part of the take-home message of today. Write those phone numbers down, and you'll be able to talk to someone who can help point you in the right direction. Now, Miriam, Tom talked about his personal experiences with caregiving. How about you?
Well, I was an only child. My parents were a bit older than most of my friends' parents, and it turned out that my father passed away suddenly, and then my mother had some medical problems, and she couldn't be discharged from the hospital to her home because she was alone and needed supervision and assistance. So as the only child, you can guess where Mom went. Actually, it was a choice they gave her between my home and a nursing home, and she thought deeply about it and finally decided on my house. So Mom lived with me for 7 years until she passed away. So I became a caregiver of someone who was pretty independent in the beginning, who then declined all the way down to needing total care.
You were wonderful to accept that responsibility.
You know, I think I can identify with caregivers who say, I didn't realize what I was getting into because I thought it was going to be for a short duration, and all of a sudden it turned out to be year after year, and we hear that frequently.
And plus, you're an only child, but it seems that even if there are many siblings available, it tends to be that one ends up assuming the biggest burden or responsibility. Is that what you find also?
Very much so. And in fact, there's really two or three sets of problems that caregivers have. One is taking care of the needs of the older adult. Another is taking care of their own needs. And then a third is dealing with their siblings, sometimes who are out of town and phoning with maybe well-intentioned ideas, but a lot of stress gets created there.
And stress and resentment that someone from afar is making comments, perhaps, and suggestions, and making the person, the point person, feel guilty that maybe they're not doing things properly, where they're not getting direct assistance from the people out of town.
Yeah, it can be very difficult, but the good news is that there are services that can help the caregivers with the needs of the adult and also with their own needs.
What we hear caregivers say to us, Rob, is that they feel so alone. They don't realize that there are services out there, and they may be so overwhelmed and so stressed out that they can't even go looking for the services. They don't know where to turn. And I think one of the delights for Tom and for me today is to be able to get the word out to caregivers is you're not alone, and there is help out there for you.
There's help out there, and they aren't alone in that there's a lot of people going through the same thing that also feel that they're alone.
And part of the message, too, that I hear Miriam talking about when we present together, but to steal one of your lines, when you're flying on the airplane and the stewardess always says that the oxygen masks come down, you know, put your own mask first before you attend to someone that you're with. The same thing is true of caregivers, that you need to take care of your needs first so that you can be a better caregiver and have the energy and the resources to provide the help that is needed.
Do you each have a memorable patient, caregiver that can describe what the resources of your organizations can do to help? Is there one or two that stand out?
Well, what stands out for me really is mostly my own experience. Even though I was in healthcare and usually had a nurse working on one side of me and a physician on the other, still when my parents became ill, I mean, it was just so different the way they became ill compared to the illnesses that I was used to dealing with in wellness programs, that I realized that caregivers needed a lot of information. So in the programs that we put together, what we did was we put together the information in the three workshops that we're providing in Erie and Niagara County. It's basically the information that I wish I knew before my parents started the last 3 or 4 years of their life.
I think one of the memorable clients that we recently worked with in senior services is a situation where a single woman is working full-time and she's trying to care for her mother who has dementia, and the caregiver was getting very burned out, doing everything she could, a wonderful daughter. What we were able to help with was get mom into a daycare, adult daycare situation. So those days that mom's at daycare, the daughter doesn't have to worry about what's going on at home while she's at work. We also were able to get some counseling services for the caregiver, and she's able to meet with a counselor at her convenience to talk about these issues, to gain maybe some insight and some different ways of handling the situation. And she said it saved her life to be able to avail herself of these services.
A wonderful caregiver's handbook, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show, was put together many years ago by the San Diego County Department of Mental Health. It contains a caregiver's Bill of Rights, and we're going to read not that Bill of Rights, but a similar listing of what caregivers should expect, similar to the what should you expect at your age, the expectations that I've read over the past weeks that older people should expect. This is what caregivers should expect. And this is in a brochure called Tips for Caregivers, put out by the Erie County Caregiver Coalition. It's available at the number we mentioned, which is
858-8526.
Okay, thank you. I didn't want to get that wrong. And on this brochure, it says, the mission of the Erie County Caregiver Coalition is to promote community awareness, sensitivity to and action around caregiving issues. And this is the list of rights. It's called Learning to Be Assertive. And learning to be assertive is a step-by-step process. It is a skill that takes time to learn. You can begin now to claim your legitimate rights. And we're going to read this, responsibly of sorts. But we'll start with Miriam.
Okay, number one, you have a right to put yourself first sometimes.
You have a right to make mistakes.
You have a right to ask for help or emotional support.
You have a right to say no without feeling guilty.
You have a right not to have to anticipate others' needs or wishes.
You have a right not to always worry about the goodwill of others.
You have a right to say, I don't understand.
You have a right to change your mind.
You have the right to judge your own behavior, thoughts and emotions, and to take the responsibility for their initiation and consequences upon yourself. And lastly, you have a right to choose not to respond to a situation. Can you, both of you, comment on those rights?
I think they're crucial. One of the things that we address in some of our workshops is what we call satisfaction skills, that if you want to be satisfied not only in your relationship with the older adult that you're taking care of, but also in dealing with the physician, it's crucial that not only are you able to be assertive, which is what we've talked about there, but also you have that you can be aware of what's going on, that you can affirm, that you can compliment, and that you can also accept. So it's a balance of things. Assertiveness is really key, but it needs to be balanced by acceptance, and it also needs to be colored with the sensitivity to be aware and the sensitivity to compliment somebody when they're doing a good job.
And even if you're not assertive, this talks about rights, things that you should expect as a caregiver, and if you're not getting them, that you should seek them.
That's right.
Sometimes when the caregivers talk to us about the situations that they're in, and I think of the, when you mentioned out-of-town siblings and disagreements or whatever, they don't have any thoughts of how to address these problems with their siblings. They don't know how to stand up for themselves to get these things. And I've had caregivers say to me after they've read these 10 points, would you have a couple copies of that so that I could mail it to my brother and sister who are out of state? Because they so much want to have this happen, but they don't know how to do it. And it's something, as we said before, the counseling can help. And going to these workshops just to learn that it's okay to stand up for yourself. You know, caregivers, they don't even know they're caregivers sometimes. We even have another brochure. I'm not sure if I gave you a copy or not, but it says, Are You a Caregiver? And it helps people identify, because they may have just gradually evolved into the role of a caregiver, and they don't know what respite is, they don't know what counseling is, they don't understand what support that they're entitled to. So part of our job is to help them understand this too, so that they could say, hey, yeah, I'm a caregiver, I should, and go on from there.
Well, you did give me a copy, and let me read from that. And this is called Are You a Caregiver? Also from the Erie County Department of Senior Services. And it goes like this. Can you answer yes to any of the following questions? Are you caring for an older person? Do you need information about programs and services for seniors in Erie County? Have you tried to help an older person, but he or she won't let you? Are you raising a grandchild and need legal assistance to obtain guardianship? Are you finding it difficult to balance the demands of work and family while caring for an aging relative? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, call the Caregiver Resource Center for information about programs and services for seniors, as well as assistance in finding support and respite for yourself. 858-8526. There is no cost, and your call will be handled confidentially.
That's it.
Well, that's wonderful. Tom, any other comments on the rights of caregivers? I know that the out-of-town relatives, also share a degree of guilt and a sense of responsibility as caregivers also. Mm-hmm. And how does your organization address that issue without alienating people that may truly want to help, but geographically, physically, they're not in as easy a position to do so?
Yeah. Well, the way that we do that is by asking the caregivers and also the older adults to first of all focus on what the needs that they have. And if they're experiencing a lot of stress or they're not getting much support, we talk to them about, you know, where are other sources for them to get support. And there's some strong programs that Miriam's offering in that regard. And we also teach them some skills that they can use to discuss the issues with their caregivers. We actually teach them a little poem that kind of outlines a process that they can use to help themselves and share that with their siblings and the older adult. And the poem goes, imagine your goals, check your signs, take some steps, and learn each time. So what are your goals? What do you want? Whether it's peace of mind or to be able to be well enough to go to, you know, a family event, a family wedding. And what are the signs you want to pay attention to? It might be signs of stress. It could be blood pressure. It could be how far you can walk without getting out of breath. Then what steps can you take? Whether it's exercise, taking medications, meeting with physicians, and then the importance of learning each time. Because as I'm sure that you would attest, Rob, even the most skilled physician, when he or she prescribes a medication, they know what the medication can do, but they don't know exactly what it will do for a particular individual. So you need to be able to give the physician feedback as to how this has affected you. But those same steps, remembering goals, checking your signs, taking steps, learning each time, it works whether you're dealing with a physician, whether you're dealing with a sibling, or whether you're taking care of your own needs. So by teaching a simple set of steps that work across the board, we think we can help. In fact, the feedback that we've gotten is very strong from caregivers who say that the workshops are helping them emotionally, they're helping them to deal with physical needs, and they also help them socially, and it even helps them spiritually.
Tom mentioned physicians. And Miriam, how do you see physicians in general as far as awareness of caregiving needs and addressing things like caregiver stress?
I think that physicians struggle sometimes to be able to provide the information that the caregivers need. It's very difficult for anybody to keep up to date on what's out there, what's going on. And one of the things we're working on through the coalition is to get the word out to physicians that if they can get our information to the caregivers, we can take it from there. The important thing is that the physicians realize there's a need, and then they can step in and address that need with our information, because it may be that it's not just one phone number that the caregiver needs. It may be that it goes to case management, and the case manager goes out into the home of the frail older person and meets with that person and the caregiver and talks about what's going on in the older person's life, what unmet needs there are, who helps now, what help is needed, and then comes up with a care plan to address those needs.
I think the from a physician's point of view, it's time intensive to get into a discussion of things like this.
Mm-hmm.
First, you have to be aware that it might be an issue, and then to get into a discussion, you're really not focusing on your patient per se, but someone who's there with your patient. And to take time out of a busy schedule to do that can be difficult. I see that you've put together a tear-off booklet, Caregiver Resource Center, and it's to be put in physician offices,
right.
I understand. And it has the same phone number, website, and email that physicians can give to patients. If they don't have time to talk, then if we can just get them to tear off one of these, even have their office staff tear off one of these and give it to a family member. Even the patient themselves realize that it doesn't want to be a burden. I hear that a lot. I don't want to be a burden on my family. And so some patients may also get involved potentially and say, you know, we need to get some help for you because you're irritable, you're not, you know, my wife that I'm used to knowing. Tom, did you...
It's a very difficult situation, not only for the physician and the medical office staff, but also for the older adult and the caregiver. Miriam and I did a presentation last week to a group of medical office managers, and we asked them, well, what are your needs when it comes to elder care? And part of what they told us was that it's just heart-wrenching sometimes to see the caregiver come in and they're stressed, and sometimes they seem almost as ill as the older adult. How can they help them? And this kind of information, like you were just referencing, the tear-off where you can give to somebody so they can call, the help is available. One of the things we realized when we created the Niagara Caregivers Network is that there are a lot of good, strong resources available both in Niagara and Erie County. The problem is that people don't know how to get there. So by calling Miriam's number in Buffalo or our number in Niagara Falls, we can help people connect to the resources that can make a huge amount of difference in their life.
Now, I see the spouses and other caregivers of my patients dealing with many different issues, such as juggling other responsibilities and dealing with the frustrations of having to often go it alone, as we've been talking about. What are the three biggest issues that you see confronting caregivers today?
I think that we just talked about that they feel they're alone and they don't know where to turn for help. And it could be that it affects their job. Caregivers sometimes have to go from full-time to part-time. They may even have to retire early. Or they may just get in trouble at work because the care recipient's calling in all the time. I think it's a real dilemma for those who are trying to work and take care of the care recipient. Plus, they may even want to have their own family pay attention to them, too. So we are the sandwich generation.
Right. And that's a term I learned during my geriatric training, the sandwich generation. Those people that have a family that they're raising, yeah. And then aging parents or other aging relatives that they also feel responsible for. Mm-hmm. Tom, what are the top three things?
We thought a lot about that, and in the three workshops that we offer in conjunction with Miriam's staff at the Erie County Senior Services, that the titles really summarize the three greatest needs, I think. The first is helping your loved one to stay independent. You know, what are the resources that are available? What's available at home? What's available in the community? How do you pay for it? What does a case manager do? We get into all those topics in that workshop, and Miriam and her staff take a lead in presenting that information. The second need is for people, both caregivers and older adults, to be able to be their best and to manage stress. And it's in that workshop that we help people to develop an individual care plan for themselves using that little poem that I mentioned before about imagining goals, checking signs, choosing steps, and learning each time. So when they walk out of that workshop, they have something very specific in writing about what they can do to improve their lives. And then the third need is getting good care. What do you ask the doctor, and when are you supposed to ask it? And in that workshop, what we've done is we outlined the 20 most common problems that the elderly face using some mandated quality assurance guidelines that they use in nursing homes. But we've simplified it so that caregivers can use it in the community so that if somebody falls, there's a series of questions that they can ask themselves, they can keep track of. So when they walk into the doctor's office and they have that 5 or 10 minutes, they can be prepared to say, well, you know, maybe it's a behavioral problem because of this, or maybe it's an environmental problem because of this, or maybe it's a social or spiritual problem because of this, or maybe it's a treatment problem because of this. So the three are helping them to stay independent, knowing about the resources, developing a plan to be their best and manage stress, and then also some very specific questions to ask, and we also teach how to keep a care diary in terms of getting good care to communicate with the physician.
Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk more about what's available out there, what's upcoming in terms of training sessions, educational seminars, workshops, etc. And we're here to take your calls. The number is 855-6848. Let's go to some music, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now if I'm a gentleman, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please help me? Now and now my life has changed in so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze.
Back now with Miriam Callahan of the Erie County Caregiver Coalition and Tom DeLowry of the Niagara Caregivers Network and Director of the Center for Renewal at Stella Niagara. I want to talk now about caregiver stress. We've touched on some of that already. This is something I record in the chart of my patients when I feel their spouse or other caregiver is having a difficult time coping with their caregiving duties. It's important for me to address for my patients because often by helping the caregiver, it helps the patient more than any medication or other specific therapy that I might give them. A reminder, the phone number for calls, 855-6848. I want to go through a quiz put together by the American Medical Association that caregivers can use to determine whether they are under stress and might need help. I think a default statement is that all caregivers generally need some kind of help at some time. Is that a true statement?
It definitely is true. I mean, it's so difficult in terms of the demand on your time, the questions that you have, the emotional drain, the worry. And one program that Marion offers, Powerful Tools for Caregivers, is very, very strong in offering some ongoing support for that.
So once you realize you're a caregiver, and we went through some of the things that might help you realize you're a caregiver, you should assume that caregiving is going to be a very difficult job, and that to do the best job you can and to maintain your health, you should start thinking about what's out there to help you do your job.
Yeah. And some way I think about it is, you remember what it was like raising a teenager? Well, this is worse.
And caregivers often don't take care of themselves. They don't start out taking care of themselves when they begin their caregiving journey, and by the time they're into it, it's almost too late. They're so burned out. And when you talked earlier about major problem caregivers face, I think one of them is that they haven't learned to take care of themselves, and they don't think about what's going to happen when they are burned out. Then there's going to be two people that need help.
If caregivers don't take care of themselves, you're right. Then there's two people, and it could result in institutionalization, someone having to go to a nursing home prematurely, when otherwise things could have been made better. The home situation could have been made better, giving that caregiver a rest. And that would be a shame. Mm-hmm. I think that's what both of your groups are trying to prevent.
Yeah, the resources are only just a phone call away.
Well, let's go through this AMA questionnaire. It's called the Caregiver Self-Assessment Questionnaire. And it starts off by saying, how are you? Caregivers are often so concerned with caring for their relatives' needs that they lose sight of their own well-being. Please take just a moment to answer the following questions. Once you have answered the questions, turn the page to do a self-evaluation. And I'll make this available at the website for the show, whatshouldyouexpect.com. And certainly, I think both Tom and Miriam can make sure this is available as well through their organizations. Now, during the past week or so, I have, and this is the caregiver answering for themselves, 1, had trouble keeping my mind on what I was doing. 2, felt that I couldn't leave my relative alone. 3, had difficulty making decisions. 4, felt completely overwhelmed. 5, felt useless and needed. Felt useful and needed, sorry. Felt lonely. Sometimes caregivers do feel useless when they can't keep up with the demands. 7, been upset that my relative has changed so much from his or her former self. 8, felt a loss of privacy and or personal time. 9, been edgy or irritable. 10, had sleep disturbed because of caring for my relative. 11, had a crying spell. 12, felt strained between work and family responsibilities. 13, had back pain. 14, felt ill. Headaches, stomach problems, or common cold often occur. 15, been satisfied with the support my family has given me. 16, found my relative's living situation to be inconvenient or a barrier to care. And we'll go through the last two. I understand we have a couple of calls. Let's take the first.
Hello, it's Dr. Stahl. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Yes, I'm listening to your program. I'm a registered nurse. I also happen to be involved with long-term care insurance.
Yes.
And just a lot of the questions you're bringing up, I mean, I talk to caregivers every day on the phone. And probably one of the reasons they're kind of looking into long-term care is because they're taking care of their parents, or they're going through this with their parents, or their parents are living with them. And they're very stressed out, and they're concerned, you know, are their children going to go through this, or, you know, who's going to take care of them
right.
if something like this happens to them. And it's probably, I don't know if, you know, if this comes up, but as far as, you know, long-term care, it does cover adult daycare, and sometimes people think it only covers nursing homes.
Okay.
But it also offers respite.
Right, so the question is, we have a new kind of insurance called long-term care insurance that's
right.
Been available now for several years, and originally the intention was to cover nursing home care, which is clearly known to be quite expensive, and now long-term care insurance is also covering other types of care that can assist when someone's getting older and has various debilities develop. Tom, Miriam, do you want to comment on long-term care insurance and what place it has?
It's an important issue, not only for families, but it's also important as a public policy kind of issue. On the family level, long-term care is expensive, and Medicare is only going to cover you for a short period of time before you start to need to dig into your own pocket.
and whether you're receiving home health care or whether it's an assisted living facility or a nursing home, what many people do is they, quote, spend the resources down before they go on to Medicaid. But what the state is now offering are some kind of partnership programs that if you purchase long-term care, you can keep your resources, and your insurance may only pay for the first 3 or 4 years so that you can stay in a private room or get the best possible care at home, and the state will pick up the following years without you having to lose your house, give away your savings, or lose your other assets. It's important for people to look at closely.
In fact, I think many nursing homes are looking at long-term care insurance as the future or even current way to pay for the services at their current level, with state and federal reimbursement always being cut back. Nursing homes are trying to do the job on narrower and narrower margins. So the long-term care insurance is a way to maintain a level of care that many homes are struggling to achieve. Miriam, do you have any comments?
If the county stance with any product or service that's being purchased is that we want the people out there to be informed consumers. So we would say, because each situation is so unique, that people should explore what their options are. And if anybody needs to talk to someone about insurance options, a neutral person would be through the Department of Senior Services. We have a senior case manager who can be reached at 858-7883, who can talk about the different options, like I said, that do exist, whether it's for Medicaid up through private insurance.
Do you have any specific comments about long-term care insurance? I know you're involved in you sell long-term care insurance now?
Yes, I'm a specialist.
Okay.
I guess it's people are just surprised sometimes when they find out that it covers home care, and it covers the custodial level.
Okay.
And it covers chore services and adult daycare.
Well, that's good to know. So when people are out there trying to compare long-term care insurance policies, that's something certainly that they should look for, that
right.
Not to just think nursing home, but to think about the wide range of services that are available out there that may cost money out of pocket. Well, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Just to add another comment, there's so many financial issues and so many other issues in terms of what services are available that it can easily be overwhelming. So that's why what we're seeing happen in the workshops, or hoping will happen in the workshops, is that if people get the basic information about what are the possibilities, here are the phone numbers they call, then when they call Miriam's department to speak to a case manager, they'll have more more informed questions, and the meeting will be that more productive.
Now, Jimmy, do we still have the...
Yeah, there's one more call.
Okay, we'll take that call.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, it's Dr. Stone. You're on here.
Yes, I'm a caregiver for my mother, who suffers from Alzheimer's disease, and I'm the only one in town, so my siblings out of town really don't have much to do. I'm the one who carries the burden. But it seems between family and my job and everything else that I have to do for my mom, juggling 3 aides who come in and out, it's different than a lot of my friends. I don't have time to take the workshops or to even meet with a social worker half the time with all that I have to juggle. Is there anything special for people who have dementia or memory problems? It just seems to be a little bit more difficult.
Can I ask you, how do you think you would score on the caregiver self-assessment questionnaire?
Pretty high for stress level, that's for sure.
Okay. Tom, Miriam?
We're working very closely with the Alzheimer's Association on this project, and we do have specific workshops that are actually presented by the staff of the Alzheimer's Association. But as the caller points out, lots of people, even though we offer the workshops in the afternoons and the evenings and on the weekends, lots of people still find it difficult to show up. So that's why if you call these phone numbers that we've been talking about in Niagara County, 285-8224, that's 285-8224, or in Erie County, Marion's phone number, 858-8526, 858-8526, you can speak to someone where they'll put you in touch with someone who over the phone can at least begin to orient you to the resources that can not only help you to manage the stress, but help get the kind of care that your loved one needs.
And I could add that we have a workshop day coming up in November, November 6th in Erie County. It's called Caregivers, This Day is for You. It's a free event, and at that workshop day, we will be offering free supervised care for memory impaired care recipients. So I'm not sure if that would work for you or not, but if it would, you'd be welcome to bring your loved one along, and they would have activities for them for that day while you were taking the different workshops. I think it would be very beneficial to you.
Now, you mentioned you have trouble attending workshops and finding the time to do that. What have you done so far in terms of seeking out help?
Well, I've met with a social worker that helped me line up some aides to look after my mom at different times while I'm working. The idea of being able to bring her along when I so I could take a workshop, the respite care you talk about, that sounds very attractive to me.
Have you contacted the Alzheimer's Association?
I received their kit. They sent a kit to me about taking, you know, helping for the caregiver of Alzheimer's, and it was certainly helpful. But it's just when there's so many things in your life that your own, you know, my own family at home, my full-time job, there's just so many things in my life that it's hard to juggle all of it.
Back in August 2nd, I had Leilani Pelletier, the program director of the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, on the show. And I'll give that number just for everyone listening, 626-0600. That's the one number to call if you are dealing with issues related to Alzheimer's disease or memory problems.
And what the Alzheimer's Association can do is they have volunteers who can come into your home to offer you some respite, so you could go out to a support group or just take care of some other needs. And the advantages of a support group really can't be described in words. To be able to sit down and talk to other people who are sharing a similar kind of a problem, and to be able to get some guidance from that, it's really very, very helpful. Alzheimer's has it, and the Powerful Tools program that Marion has is, maybe you could describe that, Marion, as another type of support.
Well, the Powerful Tools for Caregivers classes, it's an educational program that's rather new to the Western New York area. And although it takes some time on the caregiver's part to participate in the classes, the response that we're hearing from those who do is very positive. It's 6 classes held once a week for 2.5 hours, and there's sites throughout Erie County in different areas and at different times of the day. And in those classes, the caregivers learn ways to manage the stress that they're under, learn how to better make difficult decisions, learn how to balance their lives, learn about the local resources that exist. And I would encourage you to immediately start taking care of yourself, because I hear you saying that it's all about the care recipient. It's not about you, and you need to do something for you, or you're also going to be a care recipient.
Now, while you're on the phone, maybe we can brainstorm. Do you have any ideas what forum would be best for you to get the information or help you need if you aren't able to get to the workshops? I think certainly what Tom and Mary have been saying, that to take the time, find someone to cover for you, if you will, for a day or two, and be able to step back, look at what you're going through, go talk to some people that might be able to provide you ongoing help, like the caregiver organizations, the Alzheimer's Association, maybe a daycare center. But are there any other ways that you see that might be helpful that isn't available right now?
Well, the caregiver's day that Miriam, is that her name?
Yes.
Was talking about sounded really attractive in the fact that I could bring my loved one with me.
Okay.
So that I could get some information there and know that she's taken care of.
Yeah.
And also the number, the other phone number, some of the other phone numbers you've given have been real helpful. I'm certainly going to follow up with that.
Now, this is your mom you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's been the involvement of her physician?
Well, she sees one physician fairly regularly. She sees, we actually have her on an antidepressant, so she sees a psychiatrist who prescribes that. She takes Aricept. She's very healthy.
Right.
Physically, she's very, very healthy. It's her mental capabilities that, have failed.
Well, there is a resource, and I don't know exactly where you live, but there is at least one physician, a geriatrician, that is dedicating his practice to home visits. And there's also a group of nurse practitioners that do home visits. And whether that could be a resource where it would involve medical care directly in the home situation, and they would be also attuned to helping you with your caregiver needs. So that's not to take anything away from the doctor she currently sees, mm-hmm. but sometimes having someone come to the home, it's one less thing that you have to do take out of your busy schedule to take your mom to various appointments. That's something else that isn't available like it was when I was a kid when a pediatrician came to our apartment in Upper Manhattan. And that was the norm. We would never even think about going to his office. We didn't even know if he had an office, to tell you the truth. But that is happening, and people probably aren't very aware of that. So if you want more information about that, I'd be happy to talk to you about that and make some names available.
Oh, thank you.
Are those names available on your website, or could they be?
I'm trying to compile a list of geriatricians, and I have. I haven't put it on the website yet because there are doctors that have what's called added qualifications in geriatrics, but many of them don't have a regular outpatient practice. Many only do nursing home work. There are many in Rochester. There are some in the Buffalo area as well. But as far as doctors in the Western New York area, Buffalo area, that have the added qualifications and that have office practices, they're quite few and far between. So I'm trying to clarify the status of each of those practitioners, but I hope to make that available. And if you want to send me an email, drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com, or write the station, I'd be happy to give you a call back, or Jenny can take your phone number, and I can get back to you about that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, we're coming to a close in the hour. I just want to finish with the quiz. Let's just say we went through the quiz. The quiz is available. A lot of the questions seem to be questions, if answered yes, would indicate depression as well. Could you just make a comment on that?
A lot of caregivers are depressed. A lot of older adults are depressed. And unfortunately, most aren't seeking the help that they need. Sometimes it's just a simple matter of being assertive. When you're assertive, you give yourself energy, and that can help bring you out of a kind of a life stinks depression. But for many people, they may need more help than that. They may need a support group. They may need medication. The message I think both Miriam and I want to get across is that the help is there. Make a phone call and get in touch with it. You don't need to be stuck in these problems, or at least they don't have to be as bad as they are. There is help. There's wonderful resources that are available.
I think with the problem with depression, too, and is that the generation that's now receiving the care may feel a stigma attached to any type of mental health services or treatment for depression, because when they were growing up, it wasn't anything that was accepted as being an illness
just like a broken arm or whatever, and if we're very resistant to that type of help. And again, in the Powerful Tools classes, we spend an evening talking about how to handle feelings such as depression and anger and guilt, because they're out there. The caregivers are experiencing them.
And often in my practice, when I see a patient that's clearly has depressed symptoms, I try to investigate possible behavioral approaches. What are stresses that they have in their life? And that if you relieve those stresses, then perhaps the depression will melt away as well. I had a patient, a 92-year-old lady that came into my office years ago. She was clearly depressed. You could see it on her face, and as we spoke, I asked her what the top three things that she needed or wanted in her life at that time, and one of them was she wanted someone she could talk to. She lived alone in an apartment. Another thing is she wanted someone to give her a big hug. She just missed that interpersonal interaction. And so I talked to her more, and I resisted prescribing an antidepressant because it was very clear-cut that she was depressed. And instead, I tried hugs, not drugs. And when she left, I gave her a hug. I asked a nurse in the office that I was working at to come and give her a hug. And then one of the other doctors ran down the hall, and I'd never seen that doctor run before, and to give her a big hug as well. And she came back the following month for the follow-up appointment, and she said she left the office on cloud nine. So, you know, it's that interpersonal touch and not being alone, to seek out other people, especially people who have some resources that you can utilize to help you in your situation.
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind as well is that, going along with the theme of the Niagara Caregivers Network, that the solution may be either an emotional solution, a physical solution, a social or a spiritual solution, that all of those resources can help lift you up. And the reason why the Center of Renewal has gotten involved in the Niagara Caregivers Network is because we recognize that sometimes for some people the best way to experience love is a spiritual path of some sort, whether it doesn't matter the denomination, that they all have something in common.
Well, to involve your faith community, your church, your synagogue, your pastor, your rabbi, for advice. As another person that could offer advice or commiseration, as someone that understands what you're going through.
And in our workshops, we prompt people through looking at each of those areas to develop plans so that they can be as well as possible in all areas of their health.
Well, I think we covered a tremendous amount of ground. There was a lot of good information that you provided. A reminder once again for people living in Niagara County, though you can call either Erie County or Niagara County, the Niagara Caregivers Network, 285-8224. Erie County Caregiver Coalition, 858-8526. There's lots of upcoming events that were mentioned, the Powerful Tools for Caregivers classes, a Family Caregiver Resource Day taking place at Schofield Residence October 16th. You can call 874-1566 for information on that. And just keep an eye out in your local B newspapers, your Metro Community Newses, the Buffalo News, for announcements about things specifically aimed towards caregivers and helping those people who are giving of themselves so generously to help them maintain their own health and well-being. Well, I also want to thank the Beatles for capturing so well in the song Help. I never thought that song would end up having a different kind of meaning that it had today for us. Next week, talking about spirituality, the topic of the show will be spirituality and aging. And I'll have with me Mrs. Carol Wolf and Reverend James Lewis to continue the discussion about how the strength of the human spirit can help turn our older years from decline and despair to growth, hope, and fulfillment. Once again, thank you so much, Tom DeLowry of the Niagara Caregivers Network, Miriam Callahan, Erie County Caregiver Coalition. Their numbers again, Niagara Caregivers Network, 285-8224, Erie County, 858-8526. And you can always contact me at the station by email or go to the website for more information. So I'm glad you joined us today, and I'll see you next week.
Get older, losing my head, many years from now. Will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd be out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?